Hey everyone, we'll be right back to the episode, but one quick note, you know, success doesn't happen in a vacuum. So if you'd like to learn more, you want to go deeper and interact with like-minded people, I'd love to have you join the free Path to Freedom Facebook group. You can join by going to pathtofreedom.com/group and become a part of the Path to Freedom community. All right, back to the episode. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Path to Freedom podcast. If you're watching this and you happen to notice a little ink sticking out of my t-shirt here, I've got to be honest, this is not a real tattoo. I just don't think I'm cool enough to pull off a real tattoo. I've been floating the idea past my wife for, I don't know, maybe a year or so now. She keeps shooting it down. And I'm smart enough to not run off and get an actual tattoo without at least a little bit of buy-in from her. But my 7-year-old daughter has recently been really into putting on fake tattoos. And up until recently, all the fake tattoos that she's had have been, you know, Disney princesses or, you know, just little kitty tattoos. So I finally said, all right, look, if we're doing this fake tattoo thing, let me see if I can at least find some realistic, cool looking fake tattoos that we can put on. And in doing so, maybe my wife will warm up a little bit to the idea of me having a tattoo. So this is the first one. I don't know if you can see that. It's a little off center. So I guess it's a good thing that this is not permanent. About 24 hours in, does not seem that my wife is warmed up at all to the idea of me getting a tattoo. So we'll see. But this beats walking around with a Disney princess tattoo or my toenails painted, which was my daughter's thing a couple of summers ago. So anyways, if you're not watching, sorry. And if you don't care, I can't say that I blame you. I wouldn't care either, probably, if I was you. Anyways, this week's episode got another franchisee spotlight. This one, however, is not a professional athlete, or at least not a professional athlete that you are likely aware of. This week, I wanted to spotlight David Shuck. And I've actually been fortunate enough to have David as a guest on the podcast. That was probably a year, maybe even a little more than a year ago. So we'll link my interview episode with David in the show notes here in case you missed it and want to go back and check that out. But, you know, David's such a good example of where franchising can take you if, you know, you really want to scale and build something big. And, you know, I mentioned not a professional athlete that you probably recognize. So David's from the Greensboro, North Carolina area, which happens to be, you know, right around the same area that I'm from. David played basketball at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and then he actually went to Spain and played professional basketball in Spain for a little while. When he got back from Spain, you know, he wasn't entirely sure what he wanted to do, got into teaching and coaching for a while. Then I believe, if I recall correctly, I believe he got into banking and very quickly, you know, through his short experience working in banking, realized that all of his most successful clients were business owners. So that set him down a path of, you know, exploring different ways in which he could get into business for himself. He stumbled across a little old franchise called Liberty Tax. And it's interesting because I've had numerous other guests on the podcast and just people that I've met in franchising that got their start as franchisees with Liberty Tax and have gone on to do, you know, some really cool things in franchising beyond their Liberty Tax businesses. But, you know, David was young still when he got into Liberty Tax. You know, he didn't have a ton of money saved up, didn't have a ton of borrowing power. So, you know, Liberty Tax is a franchise that's on the lower cost, you know, side, comparatively speaking. So he started with a Liberty Tax franchise in Greensboro, North Carolina, scaled that at one point. He had 17 Liberty Tax franchise locations, which at the time made him one of their largest franchisees, ended up selling some of those. But to this day, or at least at the time that he and I recorded the podcast together, he still had, I believe, 12 of his Liberty Tax franchises. And he talks in the podcast episode about how, you know, he's got managers in place and, you know, collectively those 12 or so Liberty Tax businesses require no more than a handful of hours of his time throughout the entire year. We'll get right back to the episode in just a minute, but if you've been considering business ownership, if you're already a business owner looking to expand and you're curious about franchising, I'd love to connect with you, answer any initial questions that you have, talk about a specific franchise, and detail the exact process that I use and have taken hundreds of people through to help them understand franchise ownership, find the right franchise for them, and conduct the necessary due diligence. Click the link in the show notes if you'd like to schedule a free, no obligation strategy call. I look forward to talking with you. And now back to the episode. Now, that's after years and years of building. And as you hear more of David's story and what he's done in some of the other franchise brands that he's gotten involved with, you know, it'll be clear to you, David's a very established business operator. You know, he's developed tremendous leadership skills over the years. So, you know, that's not to say that, hey, you can go open 12 Liberty Tax franchises and only have to spend a handful of hours on it per year. You know, that's after many, many years of building and, you know, surrounding himself with good people. But after he had some success in Liberty Tax, you know, he wanted to go all in on franchising, and he stumbled across another little old brand that some of you listeners may have heard of called Club Pilates. For those that are not familiar, Club Pilates is, you know, the largest Pilates franchise in the U.S. for certain. They have a global presence. It's a boutique fitness concept, so it's membership group class based Pilates training. Today, Club Pilates is owned by Xponential Fitness, which is a dominant player in the boutique fitness space. They've also acquired some brands that have kind of moved them into the recovery and even the health and wellness and weight loss categories. So to date, they're up to, I believe, 12 brands under the Xponential Fitness umbrella. Went public a couple of years ago. You know, they've built an absolute machine when it comes to, you know, helping their franchise owners get these businesses up and running. And the common theme, you know, that all of the Xponential Fitness brands have is they are, you know, tied into either some sort of fitness service or recovery or health and wellness, but they're all group class-based, with the exception of, I guess, two of their concepts, Stretch Lab, which is a recovery concept, and Lindora, their most recent acquisition, which is holistic, you know, kind of health and wellness. They do weight loss, they do hormone therapies, IV therapies, a variety of those types of things. But other than that, all of their fitness concepts are group class membership-based. So very similar playbook in terms of how to launch, build, and scale those businesses. So anyways, we talk all day about Xponential Fitness and kind of how they're doing things a little bit different in the fitness sector of franchising. But back to David Shuck and his story. So he got involved with Club Pilates. I was trying to find the year here, but he got in pretty early with that brand, and he had a business partner. They opened, I believe, yeah, so he opened his first Club Pilates studio in March of 2017. He had a business partner, you know, this was in Raleigh. I think they had the rights to develop three locations in Raleigh. After they get these first three locations open, they're going really well. But from what David shared with me on the podcast, it sounded like he and his business partner just, you know, were not necessarily aligned on where they wanted to go from there. So they ended up selling those three Club Pilates, kind of went separate ways, and David doubled down on Club Pilates, doubled down to the extent that he went out looking for capital and met the guys at Snapdragon Capital Partners, which were investors in Xponential Fitness, all right? But they were also interested in partnering with, you know, strong operators of Xponential Fitness brands. And at this point, David Shuck had made a name for himself within the Club Pilates system, within the Exponential Fitness system. And he was really looking to scale. He'd proven that he could, you know, develop and operate profitable Club Pilates locations. So ultimately, David ended up securing a $30 million investment from Snapdragon Capital Partners. And in 2021, which is when he teamed up with Snapdragon, they invested, I believe they started with 6 Club Pilates locations, all right? Between 2021 and now, they have grown to 63 Club Pilates locations across Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Massachusetts, Missouri, and Illinois, all right? And they've done this through a combination of opening new locations as well as acquiring existing locations. It would be very, very difficult, even with plenty of capital, to grow that fast, you know, in a 3 to 4 year period, you know, to 63 open and operating locations if you were developing all of those locations from the ground up. So this is a common strategy that you'll see with large franchisees within a brand. Once they get in and really figure out the business model and understand how to operate it and understand what the levers are that they can pull on as owners to drive better results and, you know, more efficiencies and, you know, run the business more profitably. If they decide they really want to keep growing with that brand, they're likely going to try to do it through a combination of opening new locations and acquiring existing locations. And, you know, in any growing franchise organization, those acquisition opportunities are going to be there. In some cases, it could be because the franchisee is underperforming. You know, maybe they underestimated what it was going to take on their part to, you know, run the business and be successful with it. Maybe they've been successful with their business, but they've had a life change, or they're just ready to sell and retire, or sell and move on to the next thing. There could be any number of reasons that, you know, franchisees within a brand are interested in selling. And if you're a franchisee looking to sell your business, the best place to start is with your fellow franchisees, right? People that are already familiar with the business. The franchisor already knows them. So really shrinks that due diligence process down. When my wife and I sold our insulation franchise business last year, we sold to existing franchisees within the brand, and we were able to make that deal come together much quicker. So anyways, that's a pretty common strategy, but I thought that was important to kind of point out. I would also note that David Shuck, along with Snapdragon Capital, so David's company is Spartan Fitness, all right? So those probably not familiar with UNC Greensboro, their mascot is the Spartans. They're the UNC Greensboro Spartans. So his company is Spartan Fitness Holdings, all right? And then he partnered with Snapdragon Capital Partners. In addition to the 63 Club Pilates locations that they have open today, they own the rights to develop another 38 locations, all right? So if they develop all of the locations that they currently have the rights to, that puts them at 101 Club Pilates locations. And, you know, I don't know what pace they anticipate doing that on. It was sometime in 2023 when I had David on my podcast, and I believe he had told me that, you know, they were on track to have a little over 60 locations open by the end of 2023, which, you know, they've exceeded that at this point. So anyways, they'll continue developing those licenses that they own for those additional 38. And then in addition to that, he still has, like I said, I believe it's 12 Liberty Tax locations. All right. So that's pretty big, right? I mean, that's whatever 63 plus 12 is, what, 85 open and operating franchise units, the rights to develop 38 more. You know, he's got these strategic partners with capital behind the scenes helping him out in Snapdragon. So
he's not done there, right? He's taking all of this momentum, taking these strategic partnerships, taking all of this experience through, you know, scaling this Club Pilates business, and he's doing what many sophisticated franchise owners do that are really serious about scaling. And he's looking at, you know, what are complementary businesses that I could add into the portfolio that would either, you know, operate in a similar manner to the businesses that I'm familiar operating, or, you know, may potentially appeal to the client base that we're already serving in the franchises that we own today. And so what David Shuck and Snapdragon Capital decided to do was invest in Hand and Stone Massage. So Hand and Stone Massage is one of the you know, top tier massage franchises across the country. 550 plus locations operating throughout the US and Canada. So this is a very established brand. And they right now they have 3 Hand and Stone units with another 4 on the way. Okay, so they've got 3 open and operating. They're developing at least 4 more of those. So that'll put them at 7 Hand and Stone franchises. And I would note that, you know, compared to Club Pilates, something like Hand and Stone is more capital intensive. It's a bigger location. It's a more expensive build out. So it's a heavier lift to get one of those up and running. One of the things that's really attractive to a lot of people about a concept like Club Pilates is it's smaller footprint. You know, with it being Pilates, it doesn't require, you know, a ton of equipment that's super expensive. So it's just not as capital intensive of a build out. Hey, everyone, we'll get right back to the episode, but I wanted to quickly share a free resource with you. If you're curious about franchise ownership and want to learn more about how countless people, including myself, have leveraged franchising as a way to create more freedom for themselves and to take control of their livelihood, I've put together an ebook. It's called Franchise Wealth Creation, and it's the perfect starting point for anyone that's just curious to learn more about this whole franchise thing and how I've helped hundreds of other people navigate all the steps involved in understanding and researching franchising. So click the link in the show notes, fill out a short form. I'll send you the ebook. I think it's a great starting point if you're curious at all about learning more about franchising. All right, let's get back to the episode. And then they have a 17-unit development agreement with Vio Med Spas, which is a facial business. So to me, this is really interesting, right? Because you've got fitness, right? And Pilates caters primarily to women. It's not exclusive to women, but you know, it tends to be heavy female client base. I don't mean heavy in terms of how much they weigh, right? And if they are on the heavier side, they go to Club Pilates long enough, they probably change that, right? But it tends to be more female base. All right, just leave it at that before I get myself in trouble here. So then they go in and get into an established premier massage brand, right? Going to cater to a very similar client base. Vios Med Spa, their core service is facial treatments, right? Skin treatments for your face. Something most massage concepts don't do, right? But you know, if you're a 30-something, 40-something, you know, even 50-something-year-old woman, you're going to Pilates 2 or 3 times a week to work out. You know, you're probably the ideal customer to go and get a massage once a week or several times a month and, you know, go get your facial done, you know, once or twice a month. So I thought it was an interesting combination of brands that they have kind of compiled here. So, you know, this to me is a great example of, you know, someone that's clearly very smart, very driven, and how they can build a massive business. I mean, really an empire. All right. But if you go back to the starting point, right, because a lot of these franchisee spotlights I've done have been on Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Mahomes, Mark Wahlberg, right? And you know, I think they're interesting. People seem to find them interesting. I'll be completely honest. It's kind of clickbaity, right? It grabs people's attention, but you know, I try to point out in each of those videos that I've done that, you know, look, I don't want the takeaway here to be that franchise ownership is only for, you know, someone that's already extremely wealthy. You know, David, going back to when he started with Liberty Tax, and I believe that was 2007, right? And he said it in my podcast interview with him. He was not in all that great of a financial position, right? He hadn't had time to save up a bunch of money. Yeah, he played basketball professionally for a few years in Spain, but I'm going to go out on a limb and, you know, say he didn't sign, you know, a big multi-million dollar contract to do that. So, you know, yet look at what he has today, right? 2007 to 2024, what is that, 17 years? He's built an empire, right? And he's done it with some help. He went out and found good strategic partners that were well capitalized and could invest. So that certainly, you know, fast-tracked him to the level of growth that he's achieved so far. And he talked to me in the podcast about, you know, making that decision and some of the pros and cons, you know, of scaling that way, right? He also pointed to examples of some other Club Pilates owners that, you know, don't have quite as many locations as he does, but still, you know, have built a big business, and they've done it, you know, essentially self-funding it all, right? Or working, you know, with banks to take out loans for each location that they're opening where they don't have, you know, essentially a business partner in the mix. So there's different ways to do it, right? But, you know, you don't have to be someone that's already extremely wealthy to get into the franchise game and build your own franchise empire. You know, you can start with something simple and as unsexy as a tax prep business. But that's going to give you experience. That's going to give you confidence. That's going to, you know, if it's going well, that's going to give you more and more financial resources. It's been the exact same for my wife and I. The first franchise that we started, Shelf Genie, still own it today. Low cost franchise, right? Not a super sexy business, custom pull out shelving and custom closet systems. But, you know, that gave us experience. We started having some success, started putting more money in our bank account. That gave us some confidence, right? So that was our springboard to then go invest into another franchise business that was a little more capital intensive to get up and running, more moving parts and pieces, a little more difficult to operate. And we took a few, you know, lumps on the head in that one, sold it last year though. And that was a great experience for us, right? We'll continue carrying that momentum forward. So, you know, we're nowhere near where the David Shucks of the world are yet, but, you know, I've seen this kind of pattern or this kind of growth trajectory time and time again in franchising. And look, not everyone's goal is going to be to, you know, build a 100+ location empire, right? Or a, you know, 9 or 10 figure business. That doesn't have to be your goal. You know, what I really want people to take away from this is that, you know, there are so many different types of franchises out there, right? The range is so wide when it comes to how much capital is needed. And just like so many other things in life, once you get started, right? Once you, you know, start really taking action and get some forward momentum, you know, you're probably going to make some mistakes, just like my wife and I have done, you know, in all of our businesses so far. We've, you know, we've learned some lessons the hard way. We've taken some lumps on the head, but, you know, more than anything else, we've had success. We've gained confidence. You know, we've continued to put ourselves in a position where we have more financial resources, which just continues to open more doors. So that's really what I want people to take away from these franchisee spotlights is that, you know, if you're serious about getting into business for yourself, or if you're not even thinking that yet, if you just know that, you know, you don't necessarily want to work for the next 20, 30, 40 years for someone else, and you feel like there's got to be another way, franchising should at least be on your radar to say, you know what, let me take the time to do some real research and, you know, understand the full landscape of options that are out there when it comes to franchising and see if there's something out there that could be a good fit for me. And, you know, just like David did with Liberty Tax, just like my wife and I did with Shelf Genie, you know, I remind people of this all the time. The first franchise that you invest in does not have to be the last franchise that you invest in or the only franchise that you invest in. There's nothing wrong, you know, with giving yourself a launching pad or a starting point. You know, I think I started to make this point earlier. Maybe I didn't finish it, but you just got to start, right? If you're going to sit around and wait until you feel like you have it all figured out, or, you know, you have $1 million or $2 million or, you know, whatever number you come up with sitting in the bank, chances are a good chunk of your life's going to pass you by. And, you know, if you just would have gotten started sooner, yeah, you'll probably make some mistakes and fall down once or twice, but you're going to put yourself in a position to ultimately run faster and run further. So anyways, David Shuck is, he was very generous to come on the podcast and tell his story. Again, I've got that episode linked in the show notes. I'd encourage everyone to, go back and listen to it. He's, much, much more intelligent, than I am. So I think you'll learn something from him. But hopefully this was interesting. Hopefully, you know, you got some value from this. And if you did, please share this with someone else that you think would enjoy it. And as always, if you have not yet subscribed or followed, please do. You know, that helps us get this show in front of more and more people. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate your time. And we will see you next time. Go drop in.